Today's reading is taken from Philippians, if I can find it. Oh, yeah. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bill, for reading that to us. If you have got a paper service sheet, then do keep that open as we look at it together. You may want to look at the, on, you know, it happens to use your phone if that's helpful to follow along as we read together. But just before we come to look at that, so you've got a little bit of time to get your phones out to find the passage. As I said, I assume you will not be checking some kind of sports event. Any that's going on at the moment, it's quite a lot. Just a reminder about food with the frost. So this was our family's invite to everyone in the congregation, as I said, not all at once, to come over for a meal at some point. Please do sign up. We'd love to have you round. And I guess if you can do none of those dates, I totally understand. We hopefully in the new year, December's busy with this big thing called Christmas. Hopefully in the new year we'll have more dates. But please do, we would love, generally love to meet you all. So please do, don't hesitate. Please just contact Jenny in the office and sign up. She's very, very helpfully managing that for me, because if I was managing it, who knows what could happen. But as we come to look at Philippians 2 together, let me pray for us. Father God, we do thank you for this passage. Thank you that it speaks so beautifully of all that Christ has done. And Father, as it calls us in our relationships with one another to have that same mindset as Christ Jesus, Father, I pray that we would be a people marked by a sacrificial, humble love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So this one is striving together for the gospel by having the mindset of Christ. We're continuing our series in the book of Philippians. That striving together for the gospel, if you notice, has come up every week, has been my summary of the letter taken from chapter 1, verse 27 to 28a, that Paul, as he speaks to this church in Philippi, seems to be calling them back together in unity and around the gospel as they strive together in the face of some opposition. And that really is just picked up from 27 to 28a. And as we come to this section, as we look at the mindset of Christ, we seem to be digging into how that unity is going to be played out, how the church will be united and it'll be marked by this love in their relationships, having the mindset of Christ. But as we look at this, I think this is a real challenge. You may have heard phrases like, I do what I feel like, you do you, or as we give feedback on things, we go, well, I didn't get anything out of that. A secular author, I read his book on leadership, made an interesting point that if you go into a bookshop, you'll find rows and rows of self-help books. I admit some may be useful. But it's unlikely you'll then find a help others section with rows and rows of books on how to help others. This author, who isn't a Christian, was championing the role of servant leadership. And as I read it, I thought someone 2,000 years ago thought of this. But it is a good point, isn't it? The air we breathe, our kind of 21st century Western culture, does seem to have an obsession with the self. I have one, so this is slightly ironic. But even Apple obviously named its main flagship phone the iPhone, because it's all about me and myself. And so even if we feel that we're not influenced by it, I just want to note that the air we breathe, everything we hear, everything we engage with, is pushing us towards I. That it is all about me and everything I think and I do. But I think the problem with that is, as we read this passage in Philippians, we find that isn't the case with Christ. That Christ didn't sit there and go, well, I'm God. I'm just going to stay here. We see something markedly different. It is a wonderful passage. It's a passage we sometimes use as a creed. It may be, if I'm so bold to say, one of the purple passages of Scripture that we may know well. And it is wonderful. It is wonderful as we dig into this together. Now, if the headline, as I've given, is striving together for the gospel by having the mindset of Christ, as Paul calls the Philippian church, and your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, obviously, the question you're all asking there, I hope, maybe you're not, is what is the mindset of Jesus? And so that's what Paul goes on to kind of spell out a little bit for us in those next verses. And it starts with Jesus, the humble servant, verses 6 to 8. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, fully God, awesome, powerful, majestic, we're learning John, the agent of creation, did something quite striking with that status. And I think that's what Paul is really wanting us to draw us to. There's a lot of theological ink spilt on this passage about what it means for being in very nature God and then being in very nature a servant human. I don't think any way Paul is denying the orthodox position that Jesus is fully God and fully human. But what he's trying to do is draw us to the humbling that Jesus undertook. The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, as he took on flesh. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And this is incredible, striking, awesome and marvelous. That God, Father, Son and Spirit, who existed before all time, who has no beginning or end, becomes human. As the second person of the Trinity takes on flesh, is born as the Lord Jesus Christ. Our children like to listen to a band called Awesome Cutlery, and they it is a Christian band. I know it's not actually singing about spoons and knives and forks, don't worry. It is a Christian band, and they in quite an interesting little sketch explore this nature of God being both eternal and coming to earth as the Son of God comes to earth as Jesus. And they sum it up as God does and doesn't have a birthday. So God doesn't have a birthday. Father, Son, and Spirit existed for eternity. And yet God does have a birthday as the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, took on flesh. That's just what incarnation means. If you've ever had chili con carne, that's just chili with meat. Incarnation in flesh as the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. It is perhaps hard for us to understand how Jesus taking something on kind of emptied himself. That seems a bit impossible. But it is the incredible, incredible depth of the incarnation. It's almost beyond our understanding, and yet truly marvelous. That perhaps in a world of self-fulfillment, self-reliance, self-indulgence, we find the greatest act of humility ever. As the one who was fully God chose to take the form, become human. It is the greatest event in human history at Christmas we celebrate. I know we celebrate yearly, so perhaps it sometimes loses that momentous moment, but it is incredible, unbelievable that the Almighty would be held as a baby. One of my favorite songs at Christmas is by Sovereign Grace Music, Who Would Have Dreamed? And it has this line, who would have dreamed or ever believed that we would hold God in our hands? That in that moment, the one who, if we've done our read before, we know is Almighty, the Bible as presents the Lord as the Almighty, as the Creator, as so unlike us, so marvelous, good, holy, just, everything we are not, but born as a human, as the Lord Jesus, and held as a baby, that humans held God, held the divine. It is mind-boggling to think that the story of the Christian faith is based on such an event recorded in history with eyewitnesses. This humbling as the Son of God took on flesh. God is not hiding from us. In the cosmic game of hide and seeks, we are the ones that have hidden from God. God is not hidden. He made himself known to us as Jesus was born. And in this humility, it wasn't just that the divine took on flesh, but became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the most humiliating and horrible death at that in the ancient world. Roman citizens would not crucify their own citizens. They would not crucify their own people because it was considered so humiliating, so painful, so horrible that it was reserved from the lowest of the low. Largely those they had defeated in battle, they wanted to make a mockery and rejection of. It was a brutal and agonizing death. But it was the one that Jesus took willingly. That as he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will but your will, he walked that path for us. It is the beautiful self-sacrificial love of Christ that in his death, as he paid the price for our sins, as he bore the punishment we deserved, as he opened once again the gates of mercy, as the temple curtain was torn in two, we find forgiveness. A restored relationship with our Father, and also a restored relationship as a people as we are brought together under Christ, centered around him. These verses recount that wonderful moment, that wonderful story of the willing, humble nature. As God looked on a world that had rejected him, that had rebelled against him, and the Son of God came to earth to die. This humble, self-sacrificial love is part of the mindset we are called to live out as his people. As those who have first been served by Christ, this is what we're called to live. But I'll come to that in a moment, because I want to continue with this wonderful passage that Paul has given us as we look at Jesus, the exalted King. Although Jesus died, he rose again and he ascended into heaven. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, Paul brings in wonderful language the picture of Jesus Christ as now exalted on high, the one who is Lord, the true King of kings and Lord of lords. Now we may say we don't see that now, and that is true. We see kings and nations rage. We see those who seem to have power want to exercise it. It doesn't feel like Jesus is reigning, but one day he will return. One day Jesus will come again and he will make clear that he is the true King. And whether willingly or unwillingly, every tongue will have to acknowledge that the true King of kings and Lord of lords is Jesus. He is the one who ultimately sits enthroned. And so from those who appear they are most powerful, from the nations who have leaders that think they are untouchable, they will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this is the news I proclaim today. This isn't something that I believe because I feel like it. This is the gospel presents to us news. Paul is presenting us a reality. He's not asking, he's declaring what is true. Because although Jesus is Lord of all and will one day return and every knee will bow, it doesn't mean everyone will be saved. For now is the time that we have to willingly acknowledge the one who is Lord, the one who is King and Sovereign, and he will come again. Again, this is the truth that the Gospels bear witness to. This is the truth that Paul is telling before us, that it's not about whether I feel like Jesus will return or I think that Jesus will return. It's the news that is declared. in the revelation that Jesus will come again. It is the truth that Paul declares now, that Jesus has risen, he has ascended, that has not changed. He is the Lord, and that at his name every knee will bow. And so as you've seen what Jesus went to for a rebellious humanity, as he humbled himself, we need to acknowledge him as the Lord of our lives, trusting in him as the King of Kings. Because one day he will return. And we need to acknowledge him as Lord now while we can. So Jesus is the humbled servant. He is now the exalted King. And we're awaiting his return until what is said here will become true, that every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we still need to work out how this fits into Paul's initial command to us. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Verse 5, it's kind of the final point. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So what is that going to look like for our relationships with one another? Well, we've seen that Christ was marked by humility, that he has a self-sacrificial, self-denying love, that Christ did not consider equality with God, in fact, his own needs, but in choosing to come to earth for us, demonstrated a love that is self-sacrificial. And I don't think this is easy. To hear this command, it's not an easy thing for us to do as followers of Christ. If you have bowed the knee to Jesus, if you have repented and found forgiveness and life and the Spirit in him, if you've known and rejoiced in all that Jesus has done for you, as you hear this call, I don't know about you, but I find this difficult because we live in a world that is marked by selfishness. The air around us is all about me. And it's easy for me to think looking out for number one would be better, more simple. And when it's costly to love others, surely it's even harder. I'm even more inclined to think, well, I'll just do what I feel like. I'll do what is easy. I will love when it suits me. But as I read this, and as I'm called to have that mindset of Christ, it doesn't feel like that was the mindset of Jesus. I don't know about you, but it doesn't sound like that, does it? For the mindset of Jesus is humble obedience. We heard last week, not looking to your own interests, but the interests of others. That seems to be the mindset of Christ we're called to. How will we do this? Well, at least maybe one example. I encourage us on Sundays as we gather as God's people. Remember, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. So while I would long for us to love others outside the church, of course, Paul is kind of calling here for the church, relationships with one another. As he talks to the Philippian church, he's calling them together as God's people to model this self-sacrificial love. We'll see later in chapter 2 that this kind of will be a way in which we'll shine like stars in the sky. So I'd encourage us to look to the person next to us, to ask ourselves, how can we look to their interests above our own? Perhaps as we come on a Sunday morning, the question is less about what am I going to get out of today, but how can I help serve and love my neighbour in the likeness of Christ, the one who sat next to me this morning? I'm sure some of you are doing this really well. I'm sure there's examples of this that you know and have experienced. But again, if you are united to Christ, if you have trusted in him, I call you to pray, to seek, to yearn, to long for, to show that self-sacrificial love to your brothers and sisters around you. To have a deeper and growing love for the people here at St. Peter's. To care for each other. Again, perhaps I'd encourage you, if that feels hard, and I think it is hard, to look again upon the Lord Jesus Christ. These passages, these verses might make a great one to put up on your fridge, actually. As you remind yourself of what the Lord Jesus has done, of how he has first served us, the awesomeness and wonder of his humble sacrifice. And perhaps also, if you feel that that self-sacrificial love is costly, that you don't have the time, that you might miss out. And as you read verse 9 to 11, know also that the story of those who trust in the Lord Jesus is resurrection and eternal life, that we will enjoy being with Christ forever. But as I've said before, you will not miss out. Giving your time now in the love of someone else, giving up your own needs and your own desires, the self-denial, the self-sacrificial love that it may cost us, to love one another deeply and well, you won't miss out. For eternity awaits all who trust in the Lord Jesus, eternity of joy with Christ. So I'm going to just end by praying for us, longing and praying that we would, as Paul has called us to, as followers of the Lord Jesus, that we would have that mindset of Christ. Let me pray for us. Father God, we just thank you that you, for your deep love. We thank you, Father, that love was expressed as your Son came to earth, took on flesh, walked and lived among us, died a humiliating and brutal death on the cross so that the price, the punishment for our sins could be paid for, and that all who would turn in repentance and faith may find salvation and hope. We thank you, Father, that the Lord Jesus right now sits enthroned. He is Lord of all, and one day he will come again. Father, we pray that you'd help us to bow the knee before our Lord and long to love one another like Christ has loved us. Help the love we have for each other be a self-sacrificial, a costly love as we seek to put the needs of others above ourselves. Father, I pray that as we do that, you would help St. Peter's be a place that shines brightly in a world that is dark and hopeless without you. That as we model something different, as we learn to love ourselves less and love others more, we will stand out for you, Father. And in doing so, more will see and come to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. Amen.